My God is truly real.
Amen.
As I've been here the last few Sundays, other than this Sunday, last Sunday, we've been talking in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1 through 4. And also in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. And I will start off reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and within you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture." Also in Luke chapter 1 and verse 10 said, "Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there by the name of Zechariah, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacharias, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So Zacharias came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. All of the people saw this and began to murmur. He had gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacharias stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possession to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.' Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham.
Amen.
But the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost.'"
Amen.
I would like to thank you and the congregation for giving me this time to share my thought on why Jesus came.
Amen.
All right. Our theme this week has been seeking and saving the lost.
Right.
Let me start by telling a story about Mr. Smith. He owned a store. And Mr. Smith, he told his customers from the grocery store, he told the newspaper that he was forced to take such drastic action because of people's bad manners. First, he banned smoking on the side of the building. Then he banned curse language around the building. Then he went so bad, he banned baby strollers around the building. And then he stopped them from coming around. Shoppers now must look through the window to spot items they wanted to and ring a bell. Well, you got to ring a bell to get something from him.
Wow.
Then they are served through a small hole in the door. "I have lost business, but I cannot say how much," Mr. Smith said. "I am the man of principles, and I stand by my decision." Here's a man, he on principle. He's going to stand by what he believes in. Just like that grocery man, many churches have forgotten their Savior's purpose. Jesus' purpose was to seek and to save those who are lost. And just like Mr. Smith, many of us think that principles are more important than doing that which Jesus wanted us to do.
Amen.
We don't like the sinner's habits and worldly ways of outsiders. If they want to know the truth, then they need to come to the door of the church.
That's right.
And tell us what they want. So we can serve them. Otherwise, go shop elsewhere.
That's right.
That's where the church is getting. After all, we must maintain our principles.
Yes.
First, we banned their ungodly appearance. Then we told them if they want help, they have to express themselves properly. And finally, we banned sinners from coming into our living altogether.
Amen.
And just like Mr. Smith, we don't know how much business we have lost because we don't care. Principles are more important than telling the sinners about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
A couple of Sundays ago, my wife and I went to Santa Barbara and took my granddaughter. She was looking for a church up there to worship to, the Church of Christ. We took her there. And from the outside of the building, it looked very nice. And inside it looked like you know, any other place, you know. It housed a fairly large congregation. But now, as the years have gone by, congregation had twinkled down, about 15 members made up. And most of them were very old.
Wow.
And I'm saying I'm old too. but I mean, most of these members were very old. They all got canes or wheelchairs or what there, but we still have a right to serve God too. And when I asked for a business card, they told me that they didn't use that anymore. We don't do that anymore. And when they service began, their brother stood up with tears in his eyes. He said, "This is the first time in a very long time that I've seen so many visitors."
Oh, no.
And he was crying up there. He said, "First, I've seen so many visitors." They might have been about 10 visitors or more today. It was three of us that visited ministers, and the minister came. So they had a new minister there, and he brought people with him. Wow. In town, this town is so full of young people.
Yeah.
Even where the church is so many young people there. All around, you know. But the congregation, they had able to get in it to come in. They won't go out and do nothing. They said, God told me that. I said, could it be that so many of them others have chosen the store, just like Mr. Smith?
Yeah.
You know, making the customer window shop.
Yeah.
and why are they going to window shop when they got people going, young people passing by the church all the time? People live all over there,
right.
You know. And let me add here that the end of service, no one asked me how they could get in touch with my granddaughter so they could invite her back. After looking into my lesson, I found one compelling fact. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus doesn't need to me to seek those who are lost. And I surely cannot save anyone but myself.
That's right.
That's right. All Jesus needs for me to do is to teach those who are lost that Jesus died for our sin. He has been buried, and on the third day he rose, and again he is now Christ and Lord.
Amen.
Maybe that's what happened in Santa Barbara. The message has been forsaken for principles. All I know is that I don't want to congregate. I don't want this congregation to die because we are not doing what we need to do.
Amen. Amen.
You know. I believe in my statement, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus doesn't mean to seek those who are lost. I'm sure he cannot save anyone. I cannot save anyone but myself, okay?
Amen.
All Jesus needs for me to do is to teach those who are lost, and that teaching is that Jesus died for our sin, he was buried, and then on the third day he rose again, and is now Christ and Lord. And true, and I have 3 points here to back up with my reasoning, okay? Point one, what was Jesus' purpose, okay? Jesus stated in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost."
Amen.
Note that was lost. Do note it. Past tense, because Jesus was there. He was there and seeking. He was there and seeking that which was lost. It shows he's already came, and because of this fact, there is no reason for anyone to be lost.
Amen.
Jesus goes on to state in this purpose in response to the crowd with grumbling that he had gone to be the guest of a man who was a sinner. We're talking about old Zechariah here.
Amen.
The chief tax collector. Zechariah, Jesus said that, right, I am going to be the guest of a great sinner because that very reason I came to the earth. If you had taken a poll of Israel in Jesus' day, you would have found tax collectors was the not popular person.
No.
They were scum of the earth. For personal gain, they served Rome, taking unfair advantage of their own country. These tax collectors today, we look at them, we always just think about it. We don't think very good of them, do we? But they got a job. Zechariah was not just a tax collector, but he was the chief tax collector. He's not only collecting taxes from his town, but he was the supervisor of other tax collectors in his other towns, which made people despise his little man all the most.
Right.
You know, the average tax-paying citizen would have said, if I could get that little man along in a dog alley, When I got through with him, he would think about getting another job.
That's right.
People had questions there. But not only did Jesus go into Zechariah's house and sat down and broke bread with this sinner, Jesus seeked out and used another tax collector, Levi.
That's right.
Which is Matthew's, who became one of the 12 apostles. This shows Jesus' heart for sinners and transforming powers of his saving grace. Now, number two, who was seeking who in this time? In Luke chapter 19 and verse 2 through 4, a man was there by the name of Zechariah who wanted to see his Jesus, see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran around and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. You might say that Zechariah was seeking Jesus, when in fact, Zechariah was not seeking Jesus Christ. Christ was seeking Zechariah. Mm-hmm. We are not told that motivated this despised little man to fight the crowd in order to see Jesus on that way. Perhaps he had heard that this teacher has chosen tax collector's name, Levi, to be one of the disciples. Perhaps he had heard the common complaint of the Pharisees and others that the man socialized with notorious sinners. Hearing the news may have given Zechariah a glimmer of hope. Perhaps Zechariah thought that if he could get something out of the Jesus on how he was operating, and Zechariah could get some taxes out of him, perhaps his guilty conscience nagged him, and he thought, maybe Jesus can forgive my sins.
That's right.
Whatever tugged at Zechariah to fight the crowd and finally climbed into the tree so that he could see Jesus, it was not because Zechariah was the first seeking Jesus. It was because Jesus first seeking Zechariah. Take note of, okay? Because he had, Jesus entered into Jericho, that's in Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. Jesus entered to Jericho and was passing through. We don't know how much Jesus knew Zechariah's name, whether by divine knowledge or whether someone told him. But out of all the people in that great crowd, Savior zeroed in on one little man. Not only did Jesus zero on him, but this is the only recorded instance where he invited himself to someone's house. He was going after Zechariah personally. We found this in Luke chapter 19 and verse 5 through 6. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zechariah, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." My final point for tonight is, let me not forget that it is Christ who actually saved the lost. When Jesus told Zechariah, "Today I must stay at your house," it was something Jesus had to do. It is the same much of John chapter 4, verse 4, where it says that Jesus has passed through Samaria. Why did Jesus have to go to Samaria? He could have easily walked around Samaria as all other Jews did. He had to pass through Samaria because he had a divine appointment there with the woman at the well. And with her whole village. The women now, nor her village, was out seeking Jesus. No, Jesus was seeking them. Okay? Salvation is not due to the will of the man, but rather to the will of God.
Amen.
Right? Luke chapter 19 and 10 again. Today's salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost.
Amen.
In conclusion, my point is this. Seeing that Jesus has done most of the work, all that leaves with it is telling the story of Jesus to those who don't know how, know him. The true story of someone who, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, Paul wrote that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture.
Right.
That he was buried, that he raised on the third day, according to the scripture. And then to answer the question, why should Jesus do that for us? Because according to John chapter 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have eternal life."
Amen.
All right. Amen. Let me end this lesson tonight. No one is lost anymore unless they chose to be lost. Jesus left us with a map. A map right here. Left us with a map.
Amen.
Anyone who searches for him, it is called the Bible. He also left us with a guide. The guide is to call the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All one has to do is to choose to follow him, and you will be led into the light. And who can get lost in the light? Who can get lost in the light? I hope something I said has been beneficial to you all.
Amen.
If you have any questions, please see me after the service so we can talk about them.
Right.
If there are any guests here, that I don't see many, but yes, we know that you are always a welcome guest here at the Church of Christ.
Amen.
Also know that at the end of every service, we extend to all who are now the member of the Church of Christ, God's plan of salvation for mankind. Tonight I call it the map of salvation. And it goes like this. You see, you must hear the gospel. That's in Romans 10:17. Then you must believe in the word. That's in Luke 13:3-5. Then you must repent of your sin. That's Luke 13:3-5. Then you must confess Christ. Matthew 10:32-33.
Amen.
And in him must be baptized. No, I mean, that's already baptized, but that's what I'm saying. 1 Peter 2:2-11. Is there any other questions? I guess this time we'll close it. I have stood here, and I appreciate your time, and I stood up to be heard, and I'm going to sit down. You appreciate it.